Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
At the end, Mike, man, how you doing? I'm Amon Green and Mike Wall. What's up, Mike, man? What's good?
What's up, brother? Good to see you. Good to see you. Are you back in? Are you back in Green Bay now?
No, no, not yet. I'll be actually there a week from tomorrow. So next Wednesday, I'll be there. We're going on that Packer fan tour, or no, Packer Legends of Green Bay Packer Cruise. That's what it's called.
Legends of
Green. Yeah, we fly into Tampa and we go through the Grand Cayman. I think we hit Brazil or Brazil, but Belize. Excuse me, Belize, not Brazil. That's way down there.
Belize. If you go to Brazil on a boat with a bunch of Packer fans, like, hey, listen, I'm in for a good time. But that's, I mean, you got to.
That's a long trip. Yeah, from Tampa, that's a very long trip.
So I wouldn't fly down. I had a trip. I was at when I was playing in Seattle, Hasselbeck's wife had a charity thing
that we Elizabeth. Went to. Yep.
No, Maddie. Oh. Sarah has.
Sarah. Okay.
So yeah, sorry. So Maddie and Sarah had a charity thing in Seattle, and I'm sitting there at this table. I don't know any, you know, right. I'm just, you know, so and they're being super social. They're like best people in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the job. That's the
and
job.
I end up buying I don't know who I bought. I don't know what it was for, but I ended up buying a trip to Argentina, to Buenos Aires. I had a 10-day trip to Buenos Aires.
Nice.
Fly down, stay in some nice couple gave up their penthouse in Buenos Aires. And it's somewhere I didn't go. I've always wanted to go. I wanted to go desperately. And right. I found out how long the flight was just from, because we had to fly to like Texas down or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it was Florida. It must have been. I bet you it was Florida down. But anyways, I found out how long it was, and I had flown to Europe with my son before. At the time, was like, yeah. 12 months old, and I just Trent and I just went, nah, we'll pass. Like
it was like 10 hours plus.
I don't remember whatever it was. It was too damn much because we couldn't fly from Seattle, so we had to go the 6 hours to Florida.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
We had to go down. I was like, nah, man, this is a 15-hour day, and. Now looking back, I wish I would have gone because it's like, in the scope of your life, 15-hour really bad plane flight is not that big a deal. Yeah. But in that moment, like Maddox was a really, really tough kid as far as like acting out.
Right. Gotcha. You didn't want that life on the plane.
Bro, we were just both on our last nerves. It just wasn't going to happen.
So. Oh, man. Kids could do that to you, man. You think about it like, plane ride with three kids out of control. Nah. I'm good.
A cruise might be all right, though, because you can just be like, man, go to floor five, man. Go to this water slide. Get out of here.
Yeah, get out of here. Get out of my hair. Let me get into this read real quick. So basketball is back. BetOnline remains our number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. So you always find the latest odds, team matchups, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continuous source for all your sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet on your favorite sporting events, whether it is NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, esports, and even golf. So head to betonline.ag to join. Receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code, okay? BLEAV to receive your award. So BetOnline, Mike, where the game starts. And we ain't had no game starting. I mean, it was some games, but outside of football, the All-Star, we got Pro Bowl weekend, a little bit of action there. Did you tune in at all? I just want to know that question. Did you tune in?
I made a statement last week on Thursday's show. If that damn thing gets – we'll talk about it and get off my lawn. If that thing gets ratings, I'm leaving the country.
Yeah.
It's absolutely silly.
The pearl of the weekend, though, is Madden, obviously teamed up with the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering where the Madden video or competition was going to be. And they did one at somewhere in one of the Caesar shops. It's an NFL store there.
Yep.
So they brought in my man, 20 grand. Did you might have played with him or you missed him by a year, Marshawn Lynch. He's co-host.
I didn't play with Marshawn.
Okay.
I wish I would have.
I know. So he was co-host along with one of the NFL anchors, NFL network anchors. They had Tyreek Hill representing AFC along with Juice Gardner. For the NFC, they have Parsons from Dallas. And then I think they had hold on, let me let the video play here. They had Spice Adams as the coach for the NFC for some reason. And I know he does not play Madden at all. And so that NFC AFC match. Yeah, I know. I'm like, come on, man. Who's making this call? Call me up, please. But yeah, it was them and Marshawn doing play by play. Just letting you know how that it's a perfect. It's on YouTube.
I was gonna say it's probably the best thing they did all weekend.
It is on YouTube. You type in Pro Bowl Madden NFL Edition 20 or Madden NFL 23 Edition, please, and watch it sometime today. You don't have to watch the whole thing. Just watch at least 15 minutes of it. Marshawn is gonna entertain you. He steals the show as usual.
I don't doubt that. There's a show that Marshawn did with like Bear Grylls when he was like out in the wilderness.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you saw that show. And they had to like kill a goat or something like that, and the goat fell down like a ravine.
No, listen, I missed that one.
You did miss it because let me tell you something. It's.
I'm gonna search YouTube for it.
Yeah, he's right. All right, let's get into this a little bit. So
yeah,
because we don't really have that much to talk about with the Green Bay Packers, I figured, and I put together a couple of clips with them and the Eagles to kind of look forward to this game. But why don't we just hit off really quick? Yes, no, maybe, why? Who should we re-sign? We got a couple free agents coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to name some guys. All right?
Yep.
I'm just going to get your thoughts. Undrafted free agents only, okay? So we got Adrian Amos, number one.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be 30 years old soon. He's got a cap. Who cares what the cap hit is? Do we re-sign Adrian?
Yes. That's a no-brainer for me. Leadership. Why? Leadership starting off. And he's gotten...
Worst year of his career last year, though.
Oh, stat-wise, right?
So. He had a bad. I mean, so as you know, it's just like as he's now good, right? Like like all of our worst years are probably our first year, but as he's now good, this is his worst year of his good years.
Mm.
And he's 30 years old. He's going,
You know what? Not knowing that, I would have stayed with him. But now knowing that, that is a.
Is it a blip?
How was his stats? I haven't looked at him. How was his stats last 2021?
Better. I mean, everything's been at a, he's not a Pro Bowl. He's not Jordan Poyer, who by the way is a free agent. We can pick him up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's not Jordan Poyer. He's not Micah Hyde, but he's better than everybody else we got right now.
Right.
And he is the older statesman. He's probably the leader in the room. There's probably a counterbalance because of the personalities of Jair. Right,
yep.
There's probably a little bit of that too. So, I could see them re-signing him. I just don't know. Like, if you're 30 years old, you're trying to get paid right now because this is the last time you're ever gonna get paid at safety if you're gonna get it at all. And so, for the Green Bay Packers, are they looking at it like, yeah, we're gonna pay you? I don't know. Are we gonna pay you eight figures a year to play safety for us?
I can't see that. Yeah, I can't see that either. I would say. Like I said in the first choice, keeping them. But, yeah, it's going to be an interesting structured contract. It's not going to be a big contract. It's just going to be something that is worth his value for what he's put in the last, four? He's been on the team for 4 years, so since 2020. So, 2020, 2019. I think he came in with LaFleur. So, having that relationship will keep him on the squad. He just got a better up this year because if not, this upcoming season, 2023 season, will probably – most likely be his last. We just got to make sure he comes in ready to go. But I say keeping him is a good deal.
This is off a website, Sport Track, or Spot Track, excuse me. But they say his calculated market value would be $6.8 million a year. Right? Mm. And they're putting him up against Jayron Kearse, who we know from Dallas, Justin Reed, who's honestly, Justin Reed's a lot better than he is at this stage. Justin Reed's younger. Xavier Woods and Chuck Clark. So I don't know if that's realistic, based on just that Justin Reed one being in there, his average salary. But it's okay. So Justin Reed's average salary is $10.5 million. So I guess that makes sense. So I would think like if I'm Adrian Amos, if they would have had a better year, he's probably looking for Justin Reed money because Justin Reed was his second contract. So now,
yeah, he just got to be. I want to say he, but his agent got to realize that the team defense overall, along with him in there, was not good for the Packers. So they got to be real, which realistically with an agent that doesn't have a football background, that doesn't really factor into it. But if an agent understands the game, then you got to know, okay, he was part of a defense that was not good.
They know it, AG, right? But they just don't care. They're like, well, because AG, if like, let's say you have a down year, they'll be like, that's cool, man. We'll just go to another team. And you might be like, well, no, I don't want to do that.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah.
Adrian, I've been there. If I was Adrian Amos, like knowing what I know now, right? We all can do that.
Correct.
I would be like, hey, man, I'll just sign back here. If you guys give me $6 million, 6.5, exactly. I'm 6.87, like, I'm in.
Yeah.
For sure. Because this is like, we have something here and I want to be part of it.
True. Because you got the last month of the season, some things came together. It got them to a point where they're almost to the playoffs. So that is a good thing to bounce back on coming out of last year, the way the season started and the way the season went. So
Randall Cobb.
Might
32 be gone. Years old.
Yeah. Wide receiver, slot guy. Got to be quick off the ball. Got to get off break coverage. I say morale-wise, yeah, but it's not about that. It's about putting somebody on the field that can make plays and, you know, push the ball and do what they can. So what he came in as and he's coming out as. So, yeah, he'll be somebody that most likely move on.
I'd slide him right into the coaching seat if they wanted him.
If he can see that.
I'd slide him if he wants to,
correct.
I'd be like, hey, let's just do an internship this year. You've already made your money. You've had success. So let's see if you want to be a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't want to halfway through the season, that's fine. But just for training camp, just to get these young guys going. But wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
Just because of the value there. I mean, whether Aaron's there or not, it just seems like I don't know why teams don't do that. Like, I actually wanted to do that my last year. And they're like, dude, Jim Mora. He's like, take an off season. He's like, and just see if this is what you want to do. I'm like, well, I'm already here. You know what I mean?
I already won. Yeah. I was the same way. I mean, I came in. Okay. I even though 2009 was my last year, I was filling out coaching internships probably in 2011, didn't get accepted until 2013 into the Packers organization. So I was right. I knew exactly.
AG, how the hell do you not get a damn coaching internship? Like what? I see how good Jerry Jones takes care of his guys.
Right.
You know, I'm not one of the guys. Like, I get it. Like, I get it. But like, you're the guy. Like, what are we talking about, dude?
I don't know.
How did they not take care? Anyways.
Dean
Lowry, 28 years old, but give me 29. Started for 3 years here. I thought he played better in 2021, but I don't think he played poorly last year. I just think he kind of had an out. I think he played kind of, that's his level. And 2021 was an outlier.
Yeah, I say he definitely back because he's a guy that's been here since the start and for his whole career so far. Mm-hmm. And he's a guy that understands the locker room. Mm-hmm. He's been here long enough. So with bringing in new guys, you know, if it's free agent guys or rookies, then he's one of those veterans that be able to mold that rookie into what he's become. And if that rookie is a little bit higher talent, that's going to make that team better. When you have guys like that in the locker room, he's another Randall Cobb personality where you have that leadership value that's there.
So you got Kenny, you got Wyatt, you got Reed, you got Slayton.
Yeah, good D line room.
There's four.
Yeah.
Right now, today, I would say I'd take all four of those guys over Dean Lowry, and I like Dean Lowry.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase that. If they're all under contract, I would be happy with that because they know they're going to draft two defensive tackles in the draft, like round five, rounds. They're going to.
Yeah. That and O-line as well.
That might change that, but I'm with you that I would try to bring him back. Mason Crosby is the next one. I'm just going to go ahead and say find a new kicker.
Yeah.
No, like you've had a great career, man. You're 38 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been there. I mean, he's grayer than I am, and both of us. And he's not as older as so you know he's on there a lot. His family's been through a lot, though. I know his wife got cancer a few years back. That doesn't help. But, yeah, you know, there's some good kickers at the college football level.
He's had a great career, too. But
fantastic career. I think he was the leading scorer, right? He passed Longwell, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Alan Lazard, we're getting into some juicy ones here.
I've seen this since the end of the season. It's been interesting.
Alan Lazard, so let's frame this the right way.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Alan Lazard, so remember last year, MVS left.
Yep.
Who went to the Chicago?
Aquamenius, St. Brown.
Okay, St. Brown left. Okay, and they were both not number one guys, and MVS is kind of number two guy. St. Brown's kind of a number two, number three guy there. I think Alan Lazard is thinking he's a number one guy in another offense. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're him, because he came into this year going, well, I'm going to be the number one guy. And then
Yeah.
A bunch of stuff happened, and then finally, you know, Watson showed up, and he's definitely – I mean, there's no question that he's going to be number one.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no question I think that Dobbs is going to play – feature a lot. So if I'm – I'm personally – if I'm Alan Lazard, I'm probably looking to leave.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
You want to set yourself up in a good position because he could potentially be the odd man out come training camp, and then now he has to then adjust to a whole new playbook in a week and a half before the regular season starts.
I don't think you'd get cut.
No. I mean, if potentially, I'm just saying, putting it out there. That's one scenario. If he stays long, stays for the whole offseason, you know, find your best spot now.
Yeah.
Because then you got, what's it, February now. You have March. You have April. You have May, June. You have all your summer to then go to that team and get acclimated to your new quarterback, your new OC. And the scheme of the offense of where you will fit in right away. If he's the number one, it's not much to do other than learn the playbook.
I think, I'm with you. I just think he would play on this team. He's not maximizing his value. This goes into you got to be a little bit selfish. You're not going to maximize your value as a player if you remain on this team with the talent they have in that room right now.
Yeah, they got a good wide receiver room.
Here's a tough one, Robert Tonyan. Now, Aaron likes him. They're boys.
That's what I said. That's what I'm thinking right away.
He came off the ACL. I went from like get rid of him to I kind of want to see him become the guy, but I don't know if I don't know if he can.
Yeah. If Aaron here is here, he's here. If Aaron's gone, he might be gone. He's not gone, but he's one of those guys that are not protected because the quarterback he's not on the quarterback's favorite list because we don't know who's going. It's going to be Jordan Love and then whoever's backing him up.
The kid Ingram is the biggest free agent. We'll look at this next. There's not a lot of like Mike Gesicki's there, and like if you're going to get Mike Gesicki, you might as well get Robert Tonyan's a lot better. Mike, at least Robert Tonyan at least is working on blocking. Mike Gesicki's a good slot receiver.
Yeah,
you know that's it.
Passing quarterback.
So if you're looking at the market, you either got to draft a guy or. We got some interesting free agents
up here, though. Interesting free agent tight ends that are on the list, too.
Mercedes
Dalton,
Lewis.
Dalton Schultz from Dalton. He's on free agent.
Yeah, so Dalton would be an absolute home run. Like, he does everything. He can block.
He's a big guy,
For the Cowboys, it's like their whole – really, Dalton Schultz is the key that unlocks the Dallas offense. Mm-hmm. We showed that, I think, a couple weeks during the year. So I would love that. I just don't – Jerry Jones ain't letting Dalton Schultz go, man.
No. I'm just saying, just putting it out there. There will be some guys out there, though.
Mercedes, what do you think about Mercedes? If he wants to come back, please come back, right?
Yeah, like that is a no. That's a definitely between on field and what he does. He's very special at what he does. He's very good at what he does, and then locker room wise, he is one of those guys, veterans that he's going to help with the locker room, keep it clean and tight, and. Hold guys accountable because he's doing his job 100%. So he wouldn't be not a problem for me to have on the staff if I'm a GM having to look at who's staying, who's going. So for sure him.
What about Jaren Reed? Just brought him in.
Yeah,
played well.
Play well. Yeah, no, it'd be no reason.
I think he earned money with the Green Bay Packers.
Hopefully. Yeah, it'd be no reason to not have him here. So yeah, that'd be an easy. He did his job. 100%.
Okay, well, Keyshawn Nixon, I don't know what he's going to command. He's making less than $1 million right now. So,
is he on his rookie deal? Is he a rookie guy?
He's 25. He's going to be 26 years old. No,
he might be on his rookie deal or fist already on a new deal, maybe. Small deal. But I keep him in. I keep him because of the special team side.
He's an unrestricted free agent. So, what does that mean? Does that mean that if he's 26 years old and unrestricted, that means he can do whatever he wants, right?
Yes. So, anybody could offer him right up front. So it's up. The ball is in his court here, and so it's his decision making. It's not Packers decision making. So, but if I'm him, I'm like keep my butt where I'm at. Because he's already been a show up person on special teams, and then also with rotating with dime and nickel coverages, he's a guy that knows the ball, plays the ball well, had a few picks as we saw this season, and along with Adrian having him in the backfield, another. Familiar person together, so you don't have new people coming in the defensive backfield. When they started together, it started rough, but then towards the end of the season, things started to gel for everybody. Nixon is one of the main guys.
I'm a Nixon fan. I'm a Ford. Ford's on here too. I'm a Ford fan. But I would be shocked if one of their first two draft picks isn't a safety. Maybe three. I'd be shocked.
I could see that.
Day one, day two guys got to be. I mean, just based a secondary, you're not going to draft another cornerback.
No, they're good there.
You need look around the league, man. Look at San Francisco look at all these teams. They have safeties.
Yeah.
And if they don't have them, they bring them in. You know?
Yep.
And that's where, if I'm Nixon, am I satisfied being all pro at the return game? Because that's not going to get me on the field that well, realistically, right? Like, he probably wants to be an every down player.
Yeah.
And so if that's the case, he's certainly going to have his opportunity to do it here. I just know you kind of look at it like, okay, I'm not really a bona fide starter. I don't know how much they like him, how much they don't like him, but was that in the set, whatever, right? Like, we liked the way he played. But if he's not a bona fide starter, they're going to bring in – it's like, and we know they're going to bring in guys. I think that might make it difficult, that's all.
Yeah.
And I don't disagree with you. I just think that might make it difficult.
Yeah, he stats interception, two pass defenses. So he's a guy that come mini camps – I believe he'll be here, but if he doesn't start to show up on the tape, even in mini camp practice, and come, then that free agency might be somewhere he might be living. But he got to come in and be ready to go, get his mind right, get his body right for off season.
There's a couple other guys, but just so we can move the dial a little bit here, the last one I want to talk about is Josh Nyman.
Yeah, I mean, he had his moments. Last couple games of the year, it was one game he got beat up pretty bad, where the D-line Miami game. I remember that game in particular. It was right after Elgin Jason got his big contract off, signed, but then Yarman struggled a little bit dealing with some of their defense alignment. Phillips was an issue for him, I think, in that game. And so he would just have to make sure, I mean, from a GM standpoint, it's hard because you need guys in that front, but you do have draft and free agency available. McGlinchey is out there, but he's had a so-so year. There's been some plays where he didn't.
Dude, we bring in McGlinchey, I'll be furious.
Right. Like I said, looking at film on him, I was like, man, really? He's a big guy. He was a first-round draft pick, but he got his butt kicked, you know, to keep it real. He got his butt kicked in some game. So,
you know, you're talking about Nyman, Aiden, I think it was Aiden Hutchinson had a huge, some of it wasn't his fault.
And Detroit, right.
Yeah, whatever. But it was like the lasting memory right now is like, oh, Josh kind of didn't have a good last game.
Yeah.
I don't know that. Listen, if you look at the template for being really good right now in the National Football League,
yeah,
I look at the Philadelphia Eagles as, and we'll talk about this
offensive line standpoint.
Yeah, no, just like if you want to be a good team, what gets them? It's like you have to be a team that can drop back pass when you have to and run the football, like both and the teams that are in the Super Bowl
and make it look real easy. They make it really easy. That's what they do very good.
And all the teams. You know, thank God, it's like almost thank God Joe Burrow lost, because now we don't have to have this narrative where, like, it doesn't matter if you have an offensive line anymore because he lost.
It was that last year.
Yeah.
Him going all the way to the Super Bowl, even though they lost, but it was that. I remember we were talking about it in a lot at last year. So, yeah.
So, hopefully, with that said, like, I don't know if Josh right now is not a dominant player. They have too many guys on that side of that offensive line that are not dominant players right now. And so it's like, how many guys do you want to have on that team? You know, you have Bakhtiari for as long as he's still healthy, which we don't know that.
Right.
You expect that Elgin Jenkins, I know he's been to two Pro Bowls and I think he's a good player. When I watch his game, I'm not like, man, that guy is dominating. You know, I think he will. And he certainly got the body for it. Mm-hmm. And he's got a skill set that's impressive.
You're right.
So you kind of book him and you go, okay, maybe we got two guys. But, like, dude, you need four or five.
Yeah, you need some guys that when the D-line comes on the field or defensive coordinators are, you know, getting ready, game planning, and they look at the offensive line of the opposing team or the Packers offensive line, and they got to say, God dang, what are we going to do? You want them to question themselves. And there's no defense that does that coming in. They're looking at, okay, I see where we could go here. We could go You know, we could deal with 74, you know, 71, 76. We can make an issue there. So they're creating the one-on-one matchup problem. Excuse me. So that, and you don't want that. You want the other side where they're like frustrated because they can't get in there because they're great run blocking team offense and a great pass protection as well.
I'm looking at the top 25 free agents. I'm just going to throw out a couple names here because I'll be honest with you. I really don't think a lot of them make any sense for us. I always like Yannick Ngakoue. He played for the Colts last year, but he's not really good against the run. He would be he would actually be a backup on this team to Preston and Rashawn Gary.
Oh yeah, he's an outside linebacker.
Yeah, he plays. He's an edge rusher.
Got it.
Vontae Davids is too old. So here's Evan Ingram's a tight end that you could bring in.
Yeah, out of Jacksonville. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a little bit more athletic. Yeah, I mean he had some years in with the Giants that were up and down. Jordan Poyer is 32 years old. As much as we like him, he is 32 years old. That'll be tough. You mentioned McGlinchey, and I would be. That's a lot to spend on.
Yeah.
I think what he's going to command monetarily is a lot to spend on a guy.
Because of his being a first rounder and having decent seasons previously. So.
Okay, here's where it gets interesting to me. Daron Payne, defensive tackle, Washington Commanders. That is a dude. I'm sure they might franchise him or something. That guy is legit. If you bring him in, your entire defense changes because you have nobody across the board that you can single block anymore. Right. Kenny.
And that's what you want.
Yeah, yeah. You got to have that. Well, you have that one other guy because you have Rashawn, you have Kenny, and now it's like if you get that one other guy, now you can't take the line one side or the other. All of a sudden, it just got real nasty in here.
Yeah. And he's was he Pro Bowl this year?
I don't know if he is. Dude, he's – there's so many good defensive tackles in the NFC right now. Like any, you could pick any one of them.
He had a career year, 64 tackles.
I watch this guy all the time. You. This guy is a dude. He's really, really good.
Yeah, I'm looking at his picture now. I do remember seeing him making a lot of plays. And he had a career year, 64 combined tackles, 11 and a half sacks, 20 hits on the QB. So, yeah, that's a problem for most defense or offensive linemen.
Now, every time you have a career year during your free agent year, everyone wonders, like, what is he going to get the bag and then
what's going to happen? Yeah, exactly.
And I, you know, don't know anything about him. So, Jesse Bates, the safety for the Bengals,
is a
good player. There's a guy that we could bring in.
Yeah, there's a free agent guy right there.
Here's a guy. He's going to be in the Super Bowl, Gardner Johnson. If he gets a ring, he's probably pricing himself out of the Packers.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they get rid of him, but this guy, like, he's – you know, he's one of those keys to their defense guys that when you start looking at how we're going to attack and who we have to, you know, like the Kelce Gardner Johnson matchup this week is going to be huge.
He's going to be fun to watch.
He can make a lot of money on this game if they hold Kelce to under 10 catches, which I know is a lot of catches, but I bet you he gets targeted 17 times.
Yeah.
If they hold him under 10 catches, this dude's going to get that much.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah. MJ brought it in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
Right. Then the only other one I got here, man, is Javon Hargrave. I don't know if they can.
Oh, yeah.
But he's so good.
For
me, it's those two D tackles. I just look at, God, if we got Daron Payne or Javon Hargrave, oh, my
God. Yeah, Hargrave, he can control a game, control a guy in front of him, get in the backfield, create a lot of issues for any offense in the NFL. Just got to see if the money's there. That's the thing.
Money's going to be, well. For some, those guys are gonna get paid. It's just I don't know by who.
Correct. Right.
I got a very open ended statement here or question. Uh-oh. What, in your opinion, are the Packers good at offensively?
Let's see here. I'll say one thing they're definitely good at is the run game. Like you got the two running backs. You got Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon. That for me,
they're good at that. They're good at that room, or they're good in the run game.
With the two in the room, the run game has a pulse. That's what I'll say.
Right.
If you don't have those two guys, then it's a different story.
Yeah.
It's a completely different story.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think positionally, that's a very, very strong room.
Yes.
But just like we were talking about with who we're going to bring in at right tackle, it's like you don't really have dominance up there. You don't really have a scheme. Like all our stuff is based on jet motion and everything. Like we're not inserting our system and scheme are not as innovative as some of the others in the National Football League right now, regardless of who's at quarterback. And we don't have like just road graders, earth movers at the center guard position.
No.
So it's really tough to say that like it's tough for me to say just in front of awesome line, because Aaron Jones is the kind of guy who can run for something without us blocking anybody. And like that, I know that you're right, but I'm also like, well, They don't do it always. They're not consistently doing a great job.
Yes. All right. That's unfortunate.
All right, well, let's touch on this before we get to the trench stuff, man. Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're saying you're about to say defense, or are we going defensively?
Yeah, yeah. So defensively, what do you think?
Man, this is a tough part. I say, NFC. I mean, with the season this year, it's not really no good spots. To be honest, there's no good spots. I mean, once Rashard Gary went down, you lost the pressure what he can bring to the game. And Preston Smith, you know, he was a guy that we know played very well, but wasn't able to do the things that he's really good at. Rushing a quarterback, he did a fantastic job with the run game, stopping and slowing it down because he was doing his job. That was something, the job that he knows is the dirty work. It doesn't feel good to try to take on a block, but then keeping everything funneling the inside of his outside shoulder, he did a great job at that. But obviously he knows, you know, that's part of the job, but you want to put him in a position where he's getting to the quarterback all the time. And so defense was not a good season for defense because of what they gave up, regardless of the injuries. I mean, because before injuries, it still was a struggle before Rashard would get down. So it's defensively nothing good, I'll be honest. I'm just being real, real blunt and honest. Nothing good there. A lot of work that has to be done in the offseason from now until August.
Yeah, I would say, honestly, I would say that I think this schematically, I think they just – I don't think Joe Barry's scheme was very good for the personnel that we had.
Yep.
I mean, I think our secondary really struggled because of it, or has failed to develop in the manner that you'd expect them to. Mm-hmm. And I think that affects the front end, because if you look at our defensive line, our linebackers, our box players, you feel like we're just one season away from being really good. Because you look at them on paper, we should be really good, but everything's got to marry up. And when we say everything's got to marry up, it's not just run fits from the safety. It's how far the corners play off. It's like, because everything matters, right? Every little, like every time you fall forward for an extra yard and a half, all of it matters. It all adds up over the course of the season. I don't think, or if we're poor tackling, so they get, you know, if we don't make that tackle for 5 yards and they get 15 yards, all of this stuff ends up kind of mattering when we look at broadly over the course of the season. I think we're 1 year away. I think that defensive line's going to, you know, going to be better. Quay Walker's going to be better. All these things are going to happen with the right coaching and the right system. I don't know if that part of it is there, but I feel really good about the personnel. And I feel the same way about, like,
me too.
I feel the same way about, really, obviously the running back room, but you kind of feel that way against the wide receivers too. I mean, the way those two young guys showed up, Torrey comes in, you just go, we have got, like, there's guys there that are going to be able to make plays, right? So I feel good about those things. I wouldn't say the passing game is great. I wouldn't say the running game is great. I would say I feel really good about those positional groups. I'm kind of ducking the question, I guess. I made the question and I ducked it like a cat.
You silly. All right,
last one before we move on, man. So Aaron Rodgers to Vegas. There's just all this stuff going on.
I've been seeing it post all weekend. Posting.
Okay.
Instagram, Twitter, everywhere.
Here's the question. So a lot of it's been started by, like, Devontae, right?
Yeah.
And Stephen A. Smith came up with something I think we've all had on our minds, you know, that anybody's been following Green Bay, but he just said it this morning. He's like, they've hoodwinked us. Like, this was the plan.
This is like Ocean's 8 or Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
It feels that way, doesn't it?
Because they start one way, they misdirection you, then all of a sudden the bank vault you thought was going to get robbed is full of money. The other one that has the diamond from Bucharest is the one that got hit. That's basically what they did here.
If he goes to the Raiders,
right,
this will be the most, like, evil mastermind cartoon Despicable Me story ever, man. Like, I will be so impressed if he pulls this off. Like, I don't care who, I don't really care where he plays. I'm kind of like, dude, if he goes to the Raiders, like, this is like the biggest coup in the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, he got, because, like, Devontae's the best wide receiver in the game. He just leaves. You're like, what are you leaving? You're not leaving. You know what I mean? And now all of a sudden, oh, dude, I'm looking at houses for you. Oh, come on over. And then today he said, I am 100% saying I want Aaron Rodgers here. Like, let's make this as clear as possible. Mm. I'm telling management, ownership, who do I got to tell? Get him here. And Aaron's over there winning the program, going, ha ha ha, this is, you know, having a good time. And I'm just going, dude, if they pull this off, man, we are,
The league, the Packers got hoodwinked. That's what's going to happen.
I mean, can you imagine, like, in two consecutive seasons, you lose the best player in the National Football League and the best wide receiver in the National Football League.
Correct. It's going to be interesting.
God,
we'll see. We've got to wait and see, like a good movie, a good series, a TV series.
All right, let's get into the trench warfare stuff. So Eagles are favored by 1.5 against the Chiefs coming in. And I was kind of leading into this earlier. I think this game is like a referendum on where we are in the National Football League. And I'm saying that because in one hand, you have Patrick Mahomes, who is now being put on the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks. I think rightfully so, even though he's young.
He's earned it. He's earned it.
But so, and he's a pass first guy. They do have running game. They're super creative. Andy Reid's an offensive genius. You can't say enough nice things about him. But
yeah, great dude.
If Patrick Mahomes is on your team, you are going to throw the ball a lot more than you run it.
Yeah.
Conversely, you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, and Jalen Hurts is probably the second in line to win the MVP this year. He's had a phenomenal year. Maybe I don't know if – I can't think of anybody who's gone from, like, this level to this level in one season. Like, his ascension has been remarkable. It's testament to his work ethic, honestly. Mm-hmm. But you look at their team – they run the ball 50% of the time. Their offensive line has five dudes that are all, like, I know there's two Pro Bowlers, Hall of Famers, whatever, you know, all pros. They're all really, really good, period. They have guys everywhere. A.J. Brown, Goddard, Devontae Smith. They have guys everywhere. And this is the most complete. This team reminds me of our 2003 team. Every dude on that team offensively was a guy. Yeah. Every single guy was a Pro Bowl caliber player. Every single guy, whether you made it, whether you didn't, every guy was really, really good. Mm-hmm. And you could just do anything you wanted. You could run, you could pass, you could play action, all this. And that's what these guys look like to me. It'll be interesting. Like, for me, this game is the pendulum, because everybody knows copycat league. Is the pendulum going to swing? If the Eagles win this game, is it like everybody go find the next Jalen Hurts and start building your team around it?
Yeah, you're so right. I mean, I'm just laughing. That's because you're dead on. In terms of a team winning the Super Bowl and or even halfway through that Super Bowl season sometime, if they're really, really good like this team was, like they didn't, you know, nowhere near close to double-digit losses or over five losses. So that teams are already spectating offensive schemes and what they could do with the quarterback they already have, especially if they have a run-first quarterback who can, you know, run with their legs. So, yeah, this could be interesting.
Let's add to that, because Lamar Jackson is technically a free agent right now, and nobody thinks he's going to go anywhere, or maybe we do, I don't know. But they did fire Greg Roman, and Greg Roman was responsible. He's offensive coordinator. He brought in Paul Johnson. He was responsible for that offense that they tailor made for Lamar Jackson. And Harbaugh said it, like, we have to be able to we have to have a passing game in addition to all the great stuff that Lamar can do. And so
you have to.
What'll be interesting now is, let's say the Eagles win this game. And now you look at what Jalen Hurts can do. And Jalen Hurts has, like, a different, even though they can both throw, Jalen Hurts is just a different skill set than Lamar Jackson. Like, Lamar Jackson is box office with his football speed. When he's running like you run.
Yeah, when he's
it's completely different, right? And so, let's say he moves, whatever offense he goes to, how they treat him, how they design that offense, like, to me, that's going to be the future of football.
It is, you know, because you got a quarterback in Jalen Hurts where, like I said, the way the offseason went last year, you didn't hear much about him. It was his team, and he could just, you know, not be good this year. Everybody was negative, negative, negative. Then when the season started and a month goes by, everybody's like, hold on. You know, maybe it's just the first month of the season. Teams are just getting into rhythm. Maybe they got into rhythm a lot sooner than any other team. But then midseason came, like end of October, then you're like, wait a minute. This team's sitting at like 10-0 or whatever it was at that time in October. And then – but you got to think about his background. You know, coach's son, football coach's son. Mm-hmm. And you know, any player, especially quarterback, that has a dad for a coach, – they're most likely going to turn out pretty decent. You know, not even saying they're going to be Hall of Fame level, but they're going to at least
– they have good behaviors.
Exactly. Exactly. Which he shows, which he does. Not shows, but does.
He's remarkable.
And then you look at his background, where he came from. You know, he looked at his college transition from, you know, Alabama, you know, got out of there for whatever reasons and went to Oklahoma, brought that team to a, you know, a standard, brought a standard there at being a college football player, not just a quarterback, and then gets drafted to the Eagles to, you know, everybody's always questioning because everybody was still big on drop back passers in that pocket. And knowing that he can run the ball, but then he is a guy similar to a Russell Wilson early in his career where he was, you know, using his legs, but also using his arm, you know, and hopefully it doesn't go, you know, at the end.
He's way better than Russell Wilson.
Dude. Wait, I can say at the end of what we've seen now with Russ.
You always try to fit in a good plug for Russ, man.
I'm looking for similarities. I had to connect something with similarities. They're both running quarterbacks that can throw the ball very good. Yeah, and I so know. That was.
I think Jalen Hurts is a throwing quarterback who can run the ball well.
I was gonna say,
I look at it the other way. Like Russell Wilson had Marshawn Lynch, Pete Carroll's running game.
Yep.
I'm not going to get into whether he was protecting him or not. Legion, but he makes plays. But right. Like, I think Jalen Hurts almost looks like he designed the offense. When you watch him run this, it looks very like smooth. He drew up all the plays.
Very smooth. And you should.
Yeah.
And very smooth. And that's why I say I call him smooth. When he's playing back there, the only reason he's sweating because he's running down the field. I don't think he would sweat in the pocket at all because he gets the ball out quick. And if he doesn't, he's looking for somebody. He'll run it to run out of bounds, you know, stop the clock, save the down. As Coach Mike McCarthy used to say to Aaron and Brett when he first got in, you know, save, live to the next play. If you don't have nobody, get the ball out of bounds or throw it to where nobody could catch it, and then we have another play to work with. So
I just got hit with one of comments, recency bias. Russell Wilson was elite.
I saw that. I'm looking at.
I don't know about
that. Iron loss there. Good comment.
I respect your opinion. All right. Hey, let's flip the script here. So
yeah,
how the Chiefs are going to affect that? You know, that Eagles passing game, or excuse me, the Eagles defense.
Yeah.
And how that defense was able to just shut down early in the game. Hassan Reddick gets a hit on Brock Purdy. Gets in the, you know, sack fumble on the next very, very next play with a new quarterback. Mm-hmm. But when we go back, and I wanted to use some of the Packers game against the Eagles to just look at some opportunities that you might have in that run game based on the behaviors that those guys have.
Yeah.
So first and foremost, AG, you got the quick flip. So we're going to go Hassan Reddick and Josh Sweat both. Last game we saw against the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, they were absolutely quarterback first, tackle on the way to the quarterback, teeing off, get a yard deep as fast as you can. And that seems like a relatively new thing when you watch our game against against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah,
man motion here.
Pants were on fire. That was a good job of taking his aggressiveness, Riddick's aggressiveness, and then, you know, planting him inside. You know, he's already coming up feel hard, you know, but take him where he wants to go.
So you see those looks, and his head never goes outside, right? His head never peaks.
Nope.
And so he's not shooting. So those opportunities are there. Now, the only thing I would say is when I was watching the San Fran game, I don't know if a receiver with his outside foot back is making that block now. That's kind of what I'm saying is, like, I don't know if he might, and maybe it's different because it's Pat Mahomes, but the way that they were going after the quarterback last time, like this last game felt a little bit different, but those opportunities do show up on tape all the time, certainly.
Yeah.
You got 12 personnel here. And this is just like a very smart thing from an offensive standpoint. So they go motion here because they're going to motion over the nickel who's over Randall Cobb. They're going to bring down the safety. But what it really ends up being is instead of having a hard-hitting safety play in the overhang, you have a soft-hitting corner who's like 8 yards off the line of scrimmage. So you see the motion over. Now that corner is going to be the free man, the free hitter, and he doesn't want any part of that game. Mm-hmm. And this is just – you know, this is just by scheme, right? So you look at this, and they're going to bring down
the safety, and then the corner is going with the motion.
They'll bring down Gardner Johnson. When they bring this motion over, the way the Eagles always do this, they just have an outside guy constantly. So if the outside guy motions away, the inside guy is the one's going to trail if they play man or match.
Yep, and then it's a good job offensive line hitting their blocks. Mm-hmm. AJ seeing the hole, seeing the read of where the flow's going, to able to get that cutback right there.
Randall does a good enough job, but really, when you look at this, like Darius Slay and James, as good as they are, you know, this is they're not set up schematically or really from a mentality standpoint. Like, no. I'm gonna go make this play. This isn't going to happen. This is a soft spot in their defense.
Yeah, Darius Slay. No, he's not going to go deal with AJ. He did just that. He watched him run by. Mm-hmm. He don't want to. He made a business decision. That's what DBs do.
Pacheco's no joke. Pacheco's no, he's not as big, but the way that he runs.
He runs hard. He runs like a big guy. For sure. So Darius Slay made a business decision. And that's one thing I like as a running back. When you make DBs do that, but you got to set the tone early in the game to get that reaction later in the game.
Love it. We got 12 personnel. And now you see Hassan Reddick's playing outside of Mercedes. Now the caveat here is, and you know, Noah Gray does, I think this is a pretty good job for them, but you have to have a guy who can block Hassan Reddick one-on-one. But you can get these guys by in bunch formations, closed up. Hassan's outside Mercedes, but inside the slot, the outside receiver. He's you're worried about that crack now. You're aware of it because you already are. You know, you're already a wide nine, not just a wide nine. You know, and so now you look at this box. This is super advantageous because
beautiful. Yeah, safety, 50. Blake and Ship in there, 33 there. Wait. And there's those DBs. That's not a problem.
57, you're running a slip to 57. And 57, really, unless he comes downhill and just forces a cutback right now, which doesn't really help you because Myers is all the way back on 32. So schematically, like, this is a really, really, I'm not going to say an easy block, but you're getting the double teams where you want them consistently, and you don't have to get off on a linebacker very fast.
No, you know, because when the linemen come off clean like that to get to the second level, then the running back can also feel that and see that with their eyes if they have their eyes up looking upfield.
Now, this is something the San Francisco 49ers run. Now, they'll run it the opposite way where they'll keep the back on the far side. Mm-hmm. And this actually has some advantages doing it the way the Green Bay Packers did. But they're running like a two tight ends or a 21 or a 12 personnel, like counter gap, stutter play where they're just going to kick out, lead through, and then just get that double team at the point of attack. So Bakhtiari and Elgin Jenkins, and this translates anywhere. Bakhtiari and Elgin Jenkins don't have to get off that double team until way over past where Yosh is. I mean, they're double teaming all the way over to that side. And because you put A.J. Dillon play side here, this really looks like the split flow play that they want, that they've been running, right? So this is a very, like, from a standpoint of what the Eagles are expecting right here, they're not necessarily they're expecting the ball to go to the right. Right. So now if you just take a straight handoff downhill, your fill lanes are a little bit messed up.
Yep.
You see Hassan Reddick try to, instead of going through that block, which I think he is now, he's trying to go around that block.
You can't do that. He blocked himself right there. You know, Philly, you got the DNs with that mindset like they had last week, you know, getting the ball, getting the Purdy and what have you. If you have that same mindset, then you got that opportunity. The Chiefs have that opportunity. Even they have Pacheco, they have McKinney, that are small backs but run hard. They see this on film. If we see this on film, then that's what Bieniemy Reed can look at. It's like between the run game setting that up, but then flowing off of that to into pass and play action pass for Pat Mahomes, that ankle is a little bit better. He could get outside the pocket on that play action.
Hey, real quick, one of our listeners is asking about Joe Barry, and we've addressed it before. Do you think we should fire Joe Barry? I think schematically, I don't think they did anybody a service last year. We've talked about it ad nauseum, but my continual comment is, it's very difficult for me to understand how Matt LaFleur says we're going to go through everything with a fine-tooth comb, and in the same press conference or the press conference the next morning says everybody's job is safe. That didn't make a ton of sense to me. Now, listen, you can have a bad year, but it's not just Joe Barry. That's the number one thing. What happens with all these guys? There. Like, the buck stops with the guy who's in charge. So if the defense, I don't care if you're an offensive coach, if the defense isn't working, you're the head coach, it's your problem. Like, you're the one who's got a problem. What happens with all of these things is even if you're the head coach, you're answering to somebody. Someone's got to go. Yep. Right. And if you have an owner, which we don't, but if you have an owner, then a lot of owners will be like, it's like Mike McCarthy just got rid of everybody on his offensive staff.
Yeah.
And you're Kellen Moore.
I saw that. Kellen Moore gone.
Rob's gone. Yep. You're like, dude, why did you got rid of everybody? And you've basically said, it's all on me now. Like, Mike McCarthy has 1 year. And if Mike McCarthy doesn't do it this year, then the guy that's playing is DC for him, DQ. DQ will be head coach in a year from now.
Yeah.
And so
I knew he got rid of Kellen Moore. I didn't know he got rid of everybody offensively.
Oh, he got rid of like five offensive staff members. Yeah. So because of but that's because he has an owner. Now Matt doesn't have an owner, right? He's got people, you know, there's a president, there's the GM, but he doesn't have an owner. And so what really happens here is when I look at it, it's like if you're being optimistic, which I'd like to be, you're saying, okay, they're going to figure this out because they are good football coaches who care, you know? So I don't, you know, I don't think like you have a bad year and you necessarily need to get fired. Correct. I just thought the way that it was presented didn't make sense. AG, what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of, I say Joe, are you talking about Joe or Mike or down in Dallas?
Talking about Joe.
Joe here. Yeah. So, you know, I say it'd probably be a move of convenience to keep him because he's been here for so long. You know, he's been here for not so long, but two years now or 3 years. That's it. Other than that,
AG, what if they would have brought in Vic Fangio or the dude they just signed? They just the DC from
Raiders,
Denver DC who
was in Chicago head coach. Yeah, a couple years ago.
I'm talking about the last week. Vic Fangio just signed a $3.5 million a year deal with the Dolphins, and then I can't remember the guy's name who's the defensive coordinator for Denver. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is there are high level guys available right now that are proven in this league.
Right.
You know, so
that's why I say it's a move of convenience if you keep them. Mm-hmm. That's it. This is a move of convenience because you're familiar with him. You've been here a couple of years. You have a small rapport because it's been 2 years. Other than that, Matt LaFleur got to buckle down and make hard decisions. Be like, look at the defense as a whole. Look at all the fundamentals that we talked about year all year long that they, you know, did not do really good at times, blocking tackling stuff that pro players need to do. And that was a consistently thing week over week that even in the games they won, it was an issue. So looking at that fine tooth comb got to get where it's picking out the, you know, the bad parts to make things flow. Because if you got to make those tough decisions as a head coach when you don't have an owner. And so you got to talk to the GM and make those moves.
Roger that. Let's look at some past stuff real quick, AG, just on this last of the Packers game. So we can break apart for the Super Bowl potentially. So we're hipped off. We go from trips. We go double motion over to doubles and 12 personnel play action pass. And they play a lot of man coverage because they've got two great corners. They've got they've got great pass rush. And as we know, AG, if a lineman can pick off the dude that's covering you man to man, there's always a chance. And Andy Reid is historically one of the best screen. I don't know what happened there. Andy Reid is historically one of the best screen guys in the league. But if we can get that, I must have screwed up that play. But if we can get one guy out on that man, it's 20 yards all you can eat.
Yeah, it's a problem. You know, when you have running backs, which Kansas City does, with their pass game and run game, and they do a lot of similar screenplays as we just saw in that clip where McKinney or even Pacheco, they get out in the open field. And you saw last week's game against the Bengals, they had that sense of urgency. So when plays needed to get made, Pacheco had a big run where he gets bottled up in the middle, but he busts out of it and gains a 20-some yard gain. And so you got guys that could do that because they also have the patience because you got, you know, Airbnb, former running back when he played, but then Andy Reid, like you said, really has the science down of running screens and teaching the running backs how to set your linemen up to get the ball downfield. And that was something I knew right away, you know, coming from Seattle and then being in Green Bay, you got to let the big guys get in front and they create problems because it's not even, you got to engage the guy you're blocking, just get in his way. That gives me enough space and time to get downfield.
Right. So they got a variation of a two shell look here, and one of the rules I think for the Eagles is they're gonna carry two, they're gonna zone off three, so they're zone off the trip side, and you just see because they're carrying two on the bottom with the red circle, you got a wide open underneath route, and because they don't carry three on the trip side because they're gonna try to take away that underneath route, they've got Christian Watson wide open down the middle. Obviously, we know that Pat Mahomes is capable of making those kind of plays.
Yeah, big hit. Good catch there. Yes, he is. He can nail it. Was it needle it in there to the receiver?
seen a lot of 12 personnel in this game. My expectation would be that you see a lot of 12 personnel. The Chiefs like running it anyways, 12 and 13 personnel. They like running that out of that personnel group. But because the Eagles won't necessarily match, and they certainly don't match from a formational standpoint, they don't necessarily go into their five down line look. They'll run a lot of nickel out of it. It puts you in a position, or if you know, it's like, what do you want to do? If you bring in, if you're running your 5-2 look, your three, whatever you want to call it, 5-2-3-4. If you're running that look, we have passing lanes. If you want to go back to nickel, we can run the ball all day. So that's the conundrum really in the NFL right now, because so many teams are running 12 again or 12 or 21. I don't know why they go back. Everybody doesn't go back to 21, because I just think that instead of 12 personnel, that 21, that fullback's actually more valuable. Yeah. Just because they're just better blockers.
Yeah. Overall.
So another idea. So they go motion, and when you go motion again, you went motion to trips here. You got two tight ends up there already, and so they push Bradbury out, and all of a sudden that linebacker, his responsibilities change, because now they've moved out an extra man, and he hasn't moved off the snap because he's still got run responsibilities. There's a lot going on, and in these scenarios, he now has to get wider than the second guy, and it just leaves because of that. You're not going to be able to carry him. You're not going to be able to put your hands on him. So both those inside tight end receivers get free releases. They're going full speed now. Things happen a little bit faster, and it's all because that motion expands the field and expands Bradbury out. So now that linebacker's got new look, we get a crossing route for Tunyon, one of the plays that we'd like to see more of hopefully next year.
Yep. Giving that defense making them think out there. You got to be really creative in your scheming, you know, if it's the motioning side of it, but making sure you don't, you know, cater to them by doing the same thing over and over again.
Yes, sir. And we got one of our favorite plays. So this is for the love of the game route that Aaron Jones is running right here. This is when I was saying the front of the game, they'll literally, when you're installing this, for those watching, they'll be like, hey, this is for the love of the game routes, which just means you have no chance of getting the ball. You're just taking that safety as far as you can because they're going to run crossers underneath, right? And so what they're really trying to do here is they're trying to get Watson, but he's gloved right now, but they're trying to get him on the deep crosser. And the only way you can do that is if you get rid of that safety. But when you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones, you just kind of make plays. And those plays, everyone thinks that's like a genius move. Yeah, it's a genius move by those two guys specifically, right?
That's it. You know, they might have run it once in practice, if that, or maybe not.
So they go motion here, AG, under center, and you see that linebacker is right over the center all of a sudden, right? Mm-hmm. So that space for Christian Watson just to catch. And this is what, honestly, Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes, Travis Kelce, this is really what they're like super comfortable doing all the time. They'll dink and dunk you all day. Like Travis Kelce is like the king of catching the ball on the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, he'll catch it in the pocket. Yeah, he just comes off the ball. He kind of takes two steps. He reads the coverage. By the time before the ball snap, he knows the coverage. He'll take two steps and just sit there. And then Pat Mahomes will do his little play action, just kind of do his acting job. And you know what? Boom, here you go, Kelce. He'll drop the ball off to you, pick up 20, you know, 5 to 10 yards right there.
But so this turns into, you know, I think what we consider an explosive play, right? They get five. Yep. Now he just gets just over 10 yards, but still that's a 10-yard gain on it. That's not even a play.
A simple slant, yeah.
Yeah.
Flick of the wrist.
And then, of course, this is the one thing the Chiefs can't do. I just wanted to leave it on here. They don't have this guy anymore. They just don't have a dude who's, you know, built like this, runs like this, and they don't have – I don't think they have on their roster a guy who can take a dig route yard.
Nope.
But we'll see.
Nope. They got talented receivers. Mako Hardeman, you know, he's probably the next fastest guy, but not Tyreek speed, but he's fast. But got to wait and see how this game goes.
Hey, I only have one question. I get off my lawn thing before we leave. I just read that the NFL – or excuse me – The media companies are now like pre-releasing the NFL Super Bowl ads. So like all the ads everybody runs during the Super Bowl, they're pre-releasing them before the Super Bowl.
What, on YouTube or just commercially?
I don't know. But what the hell? Lord. Like, why would you do that? Many people tune in? Like, you know, like, I think that's why I've had parties at my house with people that are fans, people that are not fans. Everybody sits down and watches the commercials. Hell,
yes,
I do.
Yes, they're hilarious. I mean, they've gotten really creative bringing people together. You'll see, like, the guys you saw at the Pro Bowl, Snoop Dogg, Marshawn Lynch, Pete Davidson, people like that all of a sudden are showing up in a Geico commercial or in an Allstate commercial or a Pepsi commercial, Cheez-It commercial, Bet Online, or what else? Draft any other company that's paid the money for their 30 seconds to run during the prime time of any of the Super Bowl, but obviously any World Series, any.
I think it's $7 million, by the way.
For 30 seconds?
I believe it's $7 million. Oh, my goodness. Oh, here's another one, AG. We weren't on the show together last week.
Yeah.
So last week, they started a Maya Rudolph campaign for M&Ms.
Okay.
You know Maya Rudolph from Saturday Night Live, hilarious.
Yes.
Comedian.
Yes. Yeah.
But the reason they did it was because, and I'm sure I'll get this wrong.
Okay.
But there was a female M&M, the green M&M, I think, yeah, was supposed to be female, and I think she wore high heels.
Right.
And they put her in like Dunks or high tops or something.
Gotcha.
And there was like a pretty big backlash.
Ooh.
From one of the communities that, you know, I don't even know, like, you know, you start going like, what the hell are we doing?
The headline says Maya Rudolph will replace Eminem's characters in ads after backlash. So that's all the headline says.
Yeah. So this actually happened. So they actually launched the campaign last week, and you know, Maya Rudolph's funny. So the commercials are funny.
Yeah.
But you'll never see, like, at Halloween, you'll never see the little Eminem walking funny guys anymore, because somebody was insulted about the green Eminem not either having high heels or not having high heels.
Oh.
Something happened, and holy hell, where are we?
Just it's the whole social conscience thing, and the definition of he and him and they. That is, I've been working in the schools for three, four years now, Mike.
Tough.
So
yeah,
this is part of the what are you defined as? So it might be in that neighborhood. I'm not sure. I got to read the article here to really.
Well, what's the definition of woke? Definition of woke is that your feelings matter more than facts.
Yeah.
Right?
So
right, it's like that's what all it that is. Other stuff. You know, it's this is nuts though. This between the Pro Bowl games, between them playing water toss, and I can't see.
Yeah, I'm watching the water toss right now.
I can't watch the damn M&Ms anymore because they're actually funny.
You just got to be careful.
Where am I going to go? Where am I going to go? Mike. That's going to be the next show. The next show is going to be, where can Mike land that they haven't invented internet yet?
Yeah, it's just a socially woke world now. So people is going to speak out and up about anything that they might see in a little off. That's what's going on, Mike.
AG, here's what I want.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm going to keep it as simple as possible, because I'm not going to sit here and say, I wish I was born 200 years ago, because I like running water. Right. And I like my toilet to flush.
Right.
I'm a creature of comfort.
Me
guy.
Too. Me too.
But I think I could trade out at least 3 days out of seven. I could trade out a phone for an axe and just go outside and do manual labor somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I want to, you know, like bleed out, like, you know, catch the deer and bleed him out and skin him and everything. I don't think.
Right.
I'm soft. But I'll cook it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'll cook it.
Yeah.
And I'll just go live in a cabin 3 days where nobody can say, oh, you know, like you can't. And I'm just going to sit there and I'm going to just watch funny commercials. I'm going to go back. I'm going to, you know, can you imagine? I told my son, yes, this is the last thing.
Okay.
I told my son, he's like, what movie should we watch? And I go, you know, and my son's 14. He's going to be a freshman next year.
Okay.
And I go, you know, when I was your age, and this is not an appropriate age to be watching this movie.
Correct.
But.
Correct.
My best friend's dad got a laser disc machine. Remember the laser discs?
Yeah, the big disc. Yeah,
between VHS and,
yep.
and
I remember
and
those.
DVDs.
They weren't out long. They were out.
No, they didn't last very long.
About a
but
year.
He only had the guy only had one movie, and it was Animal House. So I watched Animal House in all its glory. I'm 14 years old, just going, "Oh my god!" You know, Animal House. I thought to myself, if I let my, you know, he goes, I said, "This is the movie I always watch." And I go. Can you imagine? First of all, they obviously could never make that movie now.
No.
But
it'll be changed if they remake it. It'll be totally changed.
But even if you may, even if I let him watch the movie, I have to seriously consider, do I, like, there's things that happen. There's girls drinking, taking advantage of.
Right.
There's things that were passed off as
haha funny.
Haha funny.
Right.
That and now, if he anymore. Even brought up at right. school, I'm right. getting a call from the principal oh, that he yeah. even brought it up. Not that Correct. He did it. Not that he brought up a funny scene in a movie.
Right.
That's tough.
Yes. That's reality. That's our reality now.
That's why I'm gonna go get my axe.
So you can have your days to kind of woosah through the wokeness. That's what it is, bro. Yes,
All
it
right,
is.
AG. Good All right, show, man.
Man, great show, man. Good talking to you. Hey, let everybody know where they can find you on social, Mike.
Yep, MikeWall68 on Twitter and TikTok, Process to Perform on Instagram. Check this show out. Hey, subscribe, rate, review of the show. We are on we're on the Believe Network now.
Yep.
And then obviously YouTube.com/ our Process to Perform channel. You can check it out there as well. There'll be some clips up tomorrow from Block Party. And we'll be back on Thursday previewing
Thursday.
The Super Bowl.
Yes, it is. And you can find me. I'm back on Twitter. I got access to my account.
Bro, I think you have too many S's in there, by the way.
Amon Green's Gamer. It's right. It's right.
Oh, is it Greens? I thought it'd be Amon Green Gamer or something. No, yeah. That makes sense because you can't put an apostrophe.
That was a conversation when I started the show, too. I said, is it apostrophe S or no S? We were all
We had five adults.
Yeah, five adults trying to figure that out 5 years ago. It was hilarious. So it is an S. So you can find me on Amon Green's Gamers Lounge on TikTok and on Wednesdays on Twitch and YouTube. And then Amon Green 30 on Instagram and Twitter. Like I said, I got back into my Twitter. It got hacked 2 weeks ago, but I went through the whole process of resetting my password. Now I got a government issue cryptic password that hopefully won't get hacked this time. So I'm back on Twitter as well. So I'll be resharing, retweeting your stuff when you post up of the show, Mike. So that's where you can find me as well. So
your Twitter password was AG runs fast exclamation point.
Oh, man. That was too funny. Too funny. It was, or be like Marco uses the same one for every account. So I'm like, Marco, you got to change.
He's like, change your luggage too, Marco. While you're
like, bro, change the password, man.
All right, bro. See you.
Okay. All right. Have a good.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.